what triggered this bizarre behavior.
Journey into the cold heart of Northern Darkness with Nordic Crimes.
That case became like a scene from a horror movie.
A new true crime documentary series that chilled the bone.
The hunger for killing is increasing in the course of these homicides.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Nordic Crimes is a part of the Acast family.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Today, we check in with one of the most asked about men from this show, David Talley. I first told David's story almost a year ago. He's a man sentenced to 100 years in prison. 100 years without the possibility of ever getting parole. David Talley has been incarcerated in the state of Florida for well over 22 years now, handed the maximum on every one of his charges without the possibility of ever getting out.
Where I was involved in an incident with a police chase and resorted into charges of high-speed fleeing, battery on a Leo with a deadly weapon, assault on a Leo with deadly weapon, and resisting arrest. When I went to sentencing, the judge, he remembered the facts quite differently than what happened and proceeded to sentence me on each and every charge, 7 different counts. He gave me the statutory maximum on each count, an aggregate sentence of 100 years with all the sentences running consecutive.
David is by no means innocent of the crimes he was charged with. However, I think most can agree he was handed an incredibly unjust sentence for someone who never harmed another person. David has been fighting the courts for decades in an attempt to get his sentence reheard so that he can return home to his family and enjoy the remainder of his days with his kids, grandkids, and his sister, Donna. With every week that goes by, I am getting more and more snowed under with case after case that makes its way across my desk. And it has been, I'll be honest, hard for David and I to get on the phone to have a proper catch-up. We regularly chat via the prison messaging system about where things are at. But finally, we got a chance to get on a call and have a proper chat.
To accept this call, press 0. To refuse this call, this call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Oh, we made it finally. Finally.
I was beginning to wonder.
Deary me, David. I'm sorry about all the messing around, mate.
No, that's all right. It's quite all right. So how's it going?
Oh, mate, I certainly can't complain, especially talking to yourself, my friend. It's more important to ask how you're going. What's been happening with you?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was just trying to keep myself busy, you know, helping others with their law work and stuff like that. So that kind of makes my day. So, yeah.
Are you in the same facility? Have you moved or what's happening?
No, I'm at the Avon Park place. Yeah, I'm still here at Avon Park.
I heard about young David. Is what's happening with his situation? Those who have heard David's original story will likely remember his son, David Jr., who was on the show talking about his father.
When they went to saying 30 and 30 and 15 and 15, all consecutive to one another, then it's like, wow, what's that really mean? And then when you find out it's back to back, you know, sentence after sentence, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, this person never really is going to be able to get out.
David was very open with me about his own struggles in life with his own addiction issues. Sadly, it seems those issues have got the better of him, as he himself recently found himself arrested and placed in jail. Here's David's sister, Donna.
You know, he was on the drugs too, and he was sporting his habit, so he was selling. And him and this other guy, and they stopped him at the little store. They'd been following him and watching him for a while.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I think it's not going to be good news for him.
So he's currently sitting in jail waiting for a court date, is he?
Yeah.
Deary me.
Yep, he's. I guess they was talking to one of them about that he would take 5 years or something, but they haven't came back with anything yet. So
okay,
if he gets 5, that would be good. I know, like, you know, it makes me so sick, you know, hear his dad's fighting so hard to get out, and here he puts himself there.
Yeah, sad to think his reunion with his dad might be in the prison.
Exactly. So we kept telling him, you know, you don't stop it, you're going to be sitting with your daddy. Yeah, he's been addicted for a long time himself.
The sad part of all of this is that it seems David's reunion with his son may come sooner than he thought.
I'm not exactly sure. I was speaking to my sister last night on the phone. Her daughter was talking to him on the phone, so he was saying hi and everything. So, but I don't know where he's at with what they have him charged with or what. I guess, you know, it's a slow process, so I expect it'll be 2 or 3 months before. I think his next scheduled date is late November sometime, so but even then, I don't think it's going to be resolving anything. It'll, you know, it's probably just more continuances. I'm really not exactly sure what they have him charged with. So.
Right, so he hasn't been convicted of anything yet. He's just charged with it.
Yeah. He hasn't been convicted yet of anything. No, so he's probably waiting on them to offer him some kind of a plea deal or something like that. I'm sure, pretty sure he's headed up the road here. So
boy, is there a chance that he could end up where you are?
Yeah, could be, because a lot of times they will put relatives together, so I've seen it.
Yeah, right. So, well, that'll be interesting too. I mean, not the way you want to see your son, really, is it? But
yeah, about that. Yeah, might want to kick his tail.
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a whack around the ear hole for being so silly.
Oh yes, I'm telling you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your situation, I know we've obviously spoken via message, but you know, people listening haven't heard much of your story in a while. So where are we at with your situation?
I'm reworking the motion that I've sent Mike. Matter of fact, I've perfected it way better than the one that I actually sent him. I really like it. I really like it. It's put together better than anything I could have dreamed of, really. So it came together quite nicely, and the best part about it, it presents an issue that's of constitutional nature. And so those are the best ones, of course, you know, because it's a violation of my constitutional right when they held a hearing without making specific findings. It's called the elements of the offense. Each charge carries certain elements, and they have to be proved. And so they even say, even in a plea, you are entitled to put stuff before a jury to make them have a finding. My two key issues that they failed to prove that I knew it was a police chasing me, and the second issue was they also charged me with a deadly weapon, the vehicle being used as a deadly weapon. That question should have went before a jury also. And so it's an element of the offense. So, and each one of those elements raises it another grade, because it starts out like a third-degree felony, and then because it's a law enforcement officer, it goes up to a second-degree felony. And then because they allege that it the vehicle was a weapon, that brings it up to a first-degree felony. So that's really crucial, because the state really didn't present proof of neither one of those, and neither did they put it in front of a jury to make those findings, and that's the constitutional violation there. So I'm really liking it, because there's been a few cases that have been ruled on and favorably. Matter of fact, today I started another one. Like I was telling you before, I had two things in the works. There's a thing called actual innocence that's presented to the federal courts in order to get permission to go back to the federal courts here in Florida. It's called the U.S. District Court. You have to get permission from the appellate court, and I'm claiming actual innocence because the state didn't prove those essential elements, the two that I just described. So that stands a very good chance of getting rewarded too. So
when we've spoken previously, you mentioned that you were essentially told that you've exhausted all your options, and in a way stop sending motions through. So what's that situation like if you send more motions through?
Right, that's called, they got a name for it, of course. They, you know, every issue they give a name, and this one was happened to be a Spencer, and they call it a Spencer ruling, and they claim that if you file a frivolous or a repetitious motion like that, then you could be barred from the courts from filing anything else. That last one, they actually threatened me. You know, of course, they didn't take action, but they threatened me. And, of course, on that one there, I wrote a rehearing. I wrote the rehearing and asked them to go ahead and do the sanctions, because when they do, they have to write an opinion telling you exactly what it is in your motion that you presented that was frivolous or repetitious, you know, because I wanted them to do that, because I didn't meet either one. My claim wasn't frivolous, and it surely wasn't. I had never presented that claim before the court before, so neither one of them was a viable threat. So, I challenged them on it. You know, but again, they just sent me a blanket denial, saying, you know, denied, and that's it, you know, without any explanation or a written opinion, which is what I was after.
Well, that's the thing, because if they don't come back to you with any sort of, yeah, as you said, written opinion or feedback, so to speak, as to your claim, then you've got nothing to go off. They just say denied, and then you've got nothing to argue with, which is highly frustrating. So you're saying, so you said to them, great, perfect, okay, violate me, but send me the details, so then they can at least explain themselves. But obviously they didn't follow up with that.
Exactly right, and they didn't, you know, they didn't bite, which is what I was trying to get them to bite on and go ahead and do it, because if they write an opinion, then you get to go to the next higher court,
right,
which would have been, at this step, I would have been to go up to the Florida Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the state, you know, and yeah, they didn't go for it, so... But that's, you know, that's how they continuously deny me at this district court level, and then I can't get to the Florida Supreme Court. You know?
So you really need them to bring one of those things against you to say stop sending frivolous things through and give an explanation so that you can then say take it to that next level. But until they do that, you can't.
Right, because it's such an extreme step, you know, when they take and bar you from the coming to the courts, because, I mean, every person has a right to petition the courts or, you know, motion the courts. So when they take that right away from you, that's a really big step. And
right.
So, you know, they have things in place, you know, so I would be able to get Florida Supreme Court review. And this, you know, like the motion I sent Mike now, that would, it's an identical motion that that I just presented. You know, it's the same claim that I just previously presented. So I'm sure they would follow through with their threat. But I mean, I would be starting back down in the lowest court again, and then have to start the process all over again. But I'm sure this time they would. That's why I really been saying, you know, I need an attorney to, you know, see the validity of it and to represent me in the court, you know, that way I don't have to go through all of that, you know, again. Not only would it, you know, bar me from the courts too, but it would also get me fired as a law clerk in the department here in the prison, you know.
Oh, wow.
They would fire me from my prison job, so, yeah.
They'd fire you because you got barred from the courts.
Right, exactly, for filing frivolous motions, yeah.
People often ask me, what's happening with David and what are we doing to help him with his bid to get back into court? Well, I can tell you, we are certainly doing everything we can possibly do to assist David where we can. In fact, recently, I put David in touch with our voice of reason, the great man, Mr. Michael Leonard, as David had just finished preparing his latest motion and wanted some feedback. And Mr. Leonard was only too happy to have a read and offer David some help. Which also means he can help us understand just exactly what all this legal jargon means and what exactly it is that David is sending the courts. Obviously, the David Talley situation, I think you've spoken to him recently, is that right?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him on the phone for the first time a couple of days ago. We talked for a good while, and then we got cut off, like happens. Yeah, and that's kind of hit or miss when he calls me and whether I could pick up whether I'm in court or not. So, but I kind of think I have a grasp of what he's trying to achieve with his present motion.
Then, if you can, in layman's terms.
Yeah, it's a travesty in so many different ways, as you know, and as you've reported on. But some of the issues that he's raised in the past have been, you know, that he was never told by the judge that there were a mandatory minimum sentence that applied, meaning that the judge could not give him below that number. He was never told that by his lawyer or by the court, which in both ways really is an absolute error. Number one, ineffective assistance of counsel by his lawyer. And number two, the judge has that obligation, and that makes his pronouncement of the sentence, you know, essentially illegal or improper or error. So on that basis, years ago, his sentence should have been reversed. They should have reconsidered it in light of that, and even given him the chance to withdraw his plea of guilty or no contest. So that issue, unfortunately, is not really on the table anymore. He also in the past raised this idea with the court that he had a bunch of counts, a bunch of different offenses that so-called stacked, meaning one sentence on top of the other, right?
Yep.
And just to break that down, in some cases here, both in state court and federal court, even though one count might, for example, say 10 years, the next count might say 20 years, they don't stack, you know? So he was arguing that they shouldn't have stacked. So now, years later, after the court has kind of rejected a lot of his arguments, which I think was wrong, but he can't really re-raise them anymore. The one issue he's raising now is the idea that based on a United States Supreme Court decision, that facts that are necessary to increase your sentence beyond the mandatory minimum have to be given to a jury to decide unless you waive that right. And again, he wasn't told anything about that. Those facts that increased his sentence were not submitted to a jury to make findings against him. So it's sort of a Hail Mary because it's so long since his last motion. But hey, you know, any hope, any optimism you have is certainly worth it. And it's a valid legal argument. It's just one that probably could have been raised maybe by attorneys on behalf long ago, which nobody did for him.
But so you say this is a valid argument, but as you've said, the previous ones he made were valid arguments, but the courts have just denied them, even though they are valid arguments. So it's, again, I come back to this whole question of if these are valid arguments and they should, you know, you said this should have been overturned based on, you know, previous arguments that he's made, but they've ignored it. What's the point? If they're not looking at this and going by the letter of the law and saying, well, actually, he's got a valid point here, this is right. I don't get it. I'm like, you're supposed to follow the rule of law. That's the whole point.
As you know, just like in your country here, you know, it's an imperfect system. And I think really the sad part is, you know, especially with defendants in criminal cases, particularly those who are not represented by counsel, you know, their arguments, the way that they're presented is often very rudimentary. You know, they don't have a great understanding of the law, or if they do get an attorney, it's kind of a boilerplate filing that doesn't really catch the court's attention. And they're probably the most likely to be outright denied without much review by the appellate court or the state's Supreme Court, you know, whatever the court is. So, yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating because it's a very imperfect system. You'd think, hey, if you got a great legal argument, aren't you always going to win? No, you're not going to always win. And a lot of the time, probably most of the time, you're not going to win if you're a criminal defendant in our system. So, yeah, I can see why, you know, you would call into question the viability of our appellate court system. And it certainly goes against, you know, what some prosecutors have told you that, hey, we got this great system, this sort of checks and balances where an appellate court can review and reverse or give somebody a new trial. Yes, they can do all those things. And as you know, that does happen on a regular basis, but thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of other times, that certainly does not happen. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
So what do you, you know, in your professional opinion, what do you think? I mean, is it a case of, you know, how long's a piece of string, whether or not this will work this time around? Or, you know, do you hold much hope in that being looked at seriously?
I do have hope in my heart, whether that's well-founded or not, whether that's realistic, I don't know. It would just take somebody, a law clerk, the judge's clerk, somebody to, like, take the time to understand the issue. And say, okay, hey, there is something here. Whether that'll happen is an open question, but I don't want to be pessimistic, but maybe the Jack Lawrence effect will get it done, you know?
I worry that so many people put through, you know, requests and also it's a case of just rubber stamp, move.
I mean, and it's a very valid concern because we know as criminal defense attorneys that our chances on appeal are statistically quite low. You know, once in a while we get a reversal or a new trial, but we know, as you know, that the odds are stacked against us. I mean, in David's case, I think probably the most realistic hope he would have is the drawing attention factor to it. You know, where a case gets a lot of publicity, you get some well-known people behind it, and somehow it catches a politician's attention. So sadly, we're almost at that stage with David, because he's tried motions that were well-founded over a course of many, many, many years, and no one has listened to him.
David needs an attorney in Florida that can help him. He can file these motions himself through the courts, but he says it, of course, always helps having an attorney file things with the courts themselves. And he says he may have found someone to help. You did mention to me in a message that there was an attorney that you were looking at getting in touch with, obviously other than our guy. Can you tell me about that person, how you found them?
Well, he's been around from Fort Pierce. He's over in Fort Pierce, where I'm from, and he's been practicing for, a good 30 years. And he sends out these flyers. And, of course, I've been working in the law library as a law clerk for 20-something years now, and I would see these flyers. As a matter of fact, he sent me one himself when I was coming out of a court. That's how they do. Once you're on a court, they see it on the website, and then they send you these little flyers and stuff, you know. So anyway, he's been around, and I've never heard no real great things from him, but I've never heard no really bad things from him either, so... He's just somebody that I know's been around that practices the type of law that I'm looking for. You know, they call it post-conviction law. So he's been doing that for a long, long years. So I figured maybe I could get in touch with him.
So have you done that? Have you been in touch with him yet?
No, I haven't. No, matter of fact, I just had Donna look his address up last night for me.
Now, again, this all comes down to one thing, money. So this is another avenue in which I am trying my best to help David, and I am in talks with an attorney in order to try and see if we can come to an arrangement to try and make it more affordable. But again, this all takes time, something David is used to by now. However, as you can imagine, as the hours, days, weeks, months, and years drag on, it can become increasingly harder and tougher mentally for someone in David's position. Here's his sister Donna again. How's David going? Because I know you messaged me recently and he was in a really bad way mentally. Where is he at the moment?
He's just taking a day at a time, you know, just praying that something's going to happen for him, you know.
What's your fear if nothing happens and he basically loses hope?
I do get scared he will try to take his life. You know, I mean, just because, you know, he doesn't want to sit there and, you know, rot in prison and die there. You know, that does scare me. It really does. It has for a long time. Like, I mean, personally, I wouldn't want to be like that either. I don't know. I just keep, you know, saying something's going to happen one day. Just hold on there, brother.
You have 1 minute remaining.
No, it's
peace.
Yeah. All right. They're screaming at me, Jack. I got to get off the phone.
Okay.
Time.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you. I'll keep in touch with you. I'll send you a message as soon as he replies to me, okay?
Okay. Great talking to you.
You too, Dave. Right. Talk soon, buddy. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
As always, I will keep you up to date with where we're at with David's situation. And of course, you can always reach out to David yourselves and send him messages of support. I have chucked up all his details in the OMR private Facebook group, which you, of course, can join right now. See all the details on how to get in touch with David and send him a message of support. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of Earsay.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into five themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.